spring. So as we get into God's word this morning, let's be speaks to us as we consider what you might be saying to us this day. Please soften our hearts and open our eyes that we might behold the beauty and the truth of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We've been going through the Gospel of Mark for some time now. In fact, this will be the last one in the series for quite a while. But we've been going through the book chapter by chapter, verse by verse, as we're looking at, examining, and exploring the man, the mission, and the message of Jesus. And if you've been here over recent weeks, you may recall that Jesus has now three times, in no uncertain terms, told his disciples that he needs to suffer, that he needs to die, and then he'll be raised again. This suffering, death, and resurrection is absolutely vital to how Jesus understands his mission. Because as we heard last week in the passage that Noel preached to us, Jesus tells his followers that he needs to drink from the cup of God's wrath. He knew that his mission was to come into our world, to take our punishment for sin so that our relationship with God could be restored. And once Jesus tells his disciples about his suffering, his death, and his resurrection these three times, he then begins the journey to the cross. And on his way into Jerusalem with his disciples, Mark recounts for us a few different stories about different people who encountered Jesus. And this morning's story is all about this man called Bartimaeus. If you've got your Bibles there, we're in Mark chapter 10, and our passage begins from verse 46, and we're told this. Then they came to Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus and his disciples now, they're on their way into Jerusalem. We're heading towards the cross, and they're passing through this ancient city of Jericho, which is about 30 kilometers outside of Jerusalem. They're getting closer and closer to the suffering and the death and the resurrection. And we're told that it's not only Jesus and the 12 who are making their way into the city of Jerusalem. There's actually this large crowd that's with them as well. All these people have realized that there is something special and unique about Jesus. There's all these people who have left their normal lives to follow Jesus, to see what he's going to do, to learn what he's on about. And it's also most likely mixed with a bunch of other people who are making their way into Jerusalem because it's now Passover time. So it's loud, it's busy, it's noisy, it's chaotic, and the bustling crowd makes their way through Jericho. On their way out of the city, they hear a voice coming from the side of the road, a voice crying out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." We're told that the voice is coming from this blind beggar called Bartimaeus who's sitting there, who would have been sitting there on the side of the road in this hot and dusty road day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, unable to work, unable to participate fully in society, unable to do anything except sit there on the side of the road, beg for money, so that he could live. And although this man Bartimaeus cannot physically see, we read in this passage that Bartimaeus has significant spiritual insight. Bartimaeus can't see anything, but when he hears the hustle and the bustle of the crowd, somehow he's picked up on the fact that this is Jesus who is walking by, and he takes his chance. He takes his opportunity to encounter the Son of the living God. If few weeks ago, I was walking through the city in Hobart. I think I was on Collins Street, and I walked past a phone box. And the phone box started to ring. I never knew that phone boxes in Australia could ring, and I immediately felt like I was on Die Hard or The Matrix, and that maybe there were some undercover agents trying to get my attention to give me a mission. And I was on my way to a meeting in the city, and I thought, oh, what do? I just don't have enough time to save Hobart today. And then I thought, oh, maybe it's some kind of practical joke, and I looked around for the camera, and then I thought, maybe it's just someone who's going to make my life more complicated. What if someone needs help and I can't help them? And I stopped, and I took a few seconds, and I ummed and ahed, and the phone was ringing. The phone kept ringing, and I turned away and kept walking down the street. Hobart wasn't destroyed. It's okay. But sometimes, right, when we least expect it, God puts opportunities before us. He puts opportunities in our way to encounter the Lord Jesus, to encounter the life-giving, life-transforming, saving power of Jesus. And we are faced with a choice. We have a chance, an opportunity. Do we take that chance to reach out? Do we respond to him? Do we call out to him? Or do we keep on walking on, struggling in our normal and broken lives, going through our normal and broken meetings that we all go to and our normal and broken days and ignore this opportunity as if nothing happened? Bartimaeus, though, he takes his chance. He hears Jesus coming past and he grabs his opportunity for Bartimaeus. This could be the one chance he's got to encounter Jesus and have his life transformed. And as he sits there down on the side of the road, unable to see, he calls out from his lowly position, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. About 1,000 years earlier, back in the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, in chapter 7, God makes a promise to King David that the Messiah would be one of his descendants. And so God's people, as they're waiting for their Messiah, as they're looking out for who it might be, for God's promised king, the one who would eventually come and rule and reign with justice forever, the one who will bring wholeness and healing to humanity, they're always looking out for this descendant of David. You know, according to Mark, so far the disciples haven't picked up on this. Those who are supposedly closest to him, but this blind man, Bartimaeus, this man who's been relegated to the sidelines of society, sitting on the edge of the street in the hot sun, begging people for money just so he can live, this man who doesn't fit in and in desperate need of help, he's the one who cries out, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David." Bartimaeus is the first person in the Gospel of Mark to realize this Davidic connection. He's not a theologian. He's not a religious leader. He's not someone with any kind of power or prestige. He wasn't even a close friend of Jesus. He was this annoying blind guy on the side of the street. Be careful where you assume good spiritual insight comes from. It's not always theologians or preachers or people who publish books or people who prolifically write blogs and stuff all over the internet. Sometimes, deep spiritual insight comes from people like Bartimaeus. Take the time to carefully listen to people. consider those on the margins of society, what they might say to us, and hear their insights. But as we read on, we see that the crowd there that day, they don't want a bar of Bartimaeus. As he cries out to Jesus, verse 48, we're told that many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Get back in your box, Bartimaeus. Surely Jesus can't be distracted by mere beggars on the street. Surely people of such low standing aren't worthy of the attention of Jesus. Jesus had become popular. He was this influencer. He'd become important. I'm sure we've all been in these situations where we walk past a beggar on the street. We just keep walking because we don't want to get too involved. It's just too hard. Their lives are too complex. We don't know how to help. We don't trust that they might use the money in the right way. We don't want to get hurt. We're in a hurry to get somewhere else. We've always got an excuse. And we read about this event here from 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world, and we realize actually our human hearts haven't changed that much, have they? We still view beggars on the side of the street as an inconvenience to our daily lives. We don't want to know about them. We don't want them to interrupt us. And this is not the first time in Mark's gospel where people have attempted to stop inconvenient people coming to Jesus. You might remember from earlier in the chapter with children. The disciples tell the children off for coming to Jesus, because they're inconvenient and not proper members of society. And now we've got the crowd, those who are following Jesus to Jerusalem, they're telling Bartimaeus off for coming near Jesus because he's inconvenient and no one's got time for him. And when we really stop and think about what's going on here, we see that it is those who are claiming to be closest to Jesus who are at highest risk of this kind of attitude. It's the disciples, it's the crowd who are closely following him to Jerusalem. You know, if you're a Christian, if you think you're close to Jesus, then you are at high risk of thinking that annoying people shouldn't be at church. If you're a Christian, you're at high risk of assuming that Jesus is only for people who behave and believe in the way that you do. If you're an adult Christian, you're at high risk of assuming that children are too young to encounter Jesus. We've got to be careful. If we who claim to be close to Jesus, we've got to be so mindful of not doing anything that might exclude or prevent others from encountering Jesus. We've got to be careful of putting up barriers that do not exist. We've got to be patient and kind and loving and inclusive of those we might find difficult, making an effort to go out of our way to talk with them, making an effort to smile at them or welcome them or serve them or care for those who we assume are just inconvenient people. Who do you see as an inconvenience? We've all got people we find annoying or just don't want to go near or can't be bothered with. Is there someone or even a group of people in our church that you might subtly exclude? We see in Jesus this great openness to embrace anyone who expresses a desire to come to him. And we see in his followers a great desire to put up fences to decide who's in and who's out. But actually, maybe you don't really resonate with that and you don't feel like that's an issue for you. But maybe you feel a bit more like how Bartimaeus felt. On the sidelines, always excluded from society or church things. Feeling like you don't really fit in. Or maybe you have a sense that your life is just so complicated or so messy, it's too difficult for people to care for you or welcome you in or embrace you, but you need to know that Jesus has time for you. Jesus is ready for you to come to him. Society may let you down. Friends and family may let you down. Maybe even people in the church have let you down. But Jesus sees. Jesus knows. He hears you. He hears your cry to him. You are not a burden or a bother to him. You can cry out to him. You can take your chance and go to him. See, look at what happened in the passage. Bartimaeus, he's not deterred by the crowd ordering him to be quiet because he has this sense that Jesus is different. He knows who Jesus is. And he's so desperate to interact with him. He's so desperate to encounter the Messiah. He's got nothing to lose. He takes his chance. He shouts out again, this time even louder over the crowd. Verse 48, Son of David, have mercy. In his desperation to find life and freedom and have this burden of blindness cast away from him, he tries again and he calls out to Jesus again, and we're told here that Jesus stops. Jesus stands still because the call of the poor and the powerless will stop Jesus in his tracks. He hears Bartimaeus, he sees Bartimaeus, he's got time for Bartimaeus, unlike everybody else. And he tells the crowd to call Bartimaeus over to him, verse 49, so they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. He's calling you. His desperate cry for the attention of Jesus has been answered. This man on the sidelines, despised by the crowd, on the edge of the street, cast away from the world, let down by the crowds, let down by the disciples, let down by society. But when Jesus hears his cry, he wants to see him. And Bartimaeus springs up. He throws his cloak to the side. Now to his cloak, right, that would have been placed in front of him to collect the coins from people passing on the street as he begs, and he throws it aside, we're told. He's done with it. He doesn't need it because he's going to meet Jesus. And when he gets to Jesus, Jesus asks him just one question, verse 51. He says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Now, if you were here last week, you might remember we heard that exact same question from Jesus. Remember, it was the disciples, it was James and John. They came to Jesus asking for something. Verse 36, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? James and John, remember what they asked for? They want to sit at the left and the right of Jesus. They wanted power and prestige. And Jesus says, no, my kingdom is not about power and prestige. It's about suffering and sacrifice. And here, just a few verses later, in the very next story, Jesus says once again to somebody else, this time to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus doesn't want power or prestige, does he? He just wants to be able to see. Or as one author puts it, Bartimaeus does not ask to be superhuman, but simply human. And he says, Rabbi, I want to see. And Jesus responds, go. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Some commentators say that this story is the theological centerpiece of Mark's gospel, because Mark here is showing us a beautiful picture of what it is to be a true follower of Jesus. Someone who responds to Jesus, who cries out to Jesus, who takes their chance, who picks up the phone knowing that everything else in the world has let them down. Someone who cries out in faith and receives salvation and healing and wholeness. But that's not all it is it? Bartimaeus, we see, a true disciple of Jesus, we see, is someone who gets up, leaves their old life behind, throwing away the old things they've been depending on, and continue on following Jesus down the road. It's quite an amazing picture, this small story of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. And I wonder for you, if you were to consider your life and your position with God right now, if you were to put yourself in this picture of what it is to put yourself in the picture of what it is to follow Jesus, where are you at in the story? Maybe you are still sitting on the sidelines, on the side of the road, living in brokenness and desperation, having not yet called out to Jesus to bring healing and wholeness and salvation to your life. Maybe you've heard that phone ringing. You've encountered some of Jesus. You know he's there, but you've never actually done anything to reach out and respond to his love for you. You know, when Jesus tells Bartimaeus that his faith has healed him, this word for healing, it doesn't only mean physical healing, but it means spiritual healing. He became whole. He became saved. In this picture of what it is to be a follower of Jesus, are you still sitting on the sidelines having never responded to Jesus? The phone is ringing. Will you answer the call? Will you take your chance and pick it up? Will you call out to Jesus in prayer like Bartimaeus does? Will you call out to him to ask for his mercy and salvation, to experience new life and freedom that can only be found in him? Is today the day for you to get off the side of the road? Maybe you've already done that, but you haven't yet cast aside the cloak like Bartimaeus does. Maybe you still need to be challenged to put away worldly things that you're depending on for your life and your wealth and your hope and your meaning. And maybe today you've got to be challenged to be a bit more like Bartimaeus and throw that to the side and get on the road and follow Jesus. Or maybe if you have cried out to Jesus for mercy, you do have faith in who he is and what he has done for you on the cross, but you're unsure about whether you are actually saved. You still come along to church, but you're not quite certain about your own salvation, about whether faith in him and his life and death and resurrection is enough. And maybe you need to hear these words of assurance from Jesus that your faith has healed you, your faith has saved you. Or maybe for you, you've done all that, you get all that, but you need to be challenged to be on that road behind Jesus, walking behind him. At the end of the story, we're told that Bartimaeus left his old life on the side of the road, got on the road and followed Jesus wherever he went. Jesus was now Lord of Bartimaeus' life. Wherever Jesus went, Bartimaeus went. Maybe you need to be challenged and encouraged to walk daily by faith and in obedience to Jesus, allowing him to direct your path. Well, as the story ends with Bartimaeus following Jesus down the road, remember where they're going. They're 30 kilometers outside of Jerusalem. They're on the road to the cross. And Bartimaeus gets up, follows Jesus to the cross, the path of suffering. Because actually, that's what following Jesus looks like. Not like the disciples thought in the previous story. It's not about gaining more and more power and prestige and wealth for yourself. No, it's about humbly walking behind Jesus on the road to suffering. Walking with him on the road to sacrifice, while knowing that that path eventually leads to eternal glory and salvation. Where are you in the story? What do you need to be challenged by today? Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for this remarkable story of Bartimaeus. We thank you, Lord, that he took a risk to cry out to Jesus for salvation and for healing. And Father, I want to pray this morning for anyone here who has been holding back because they're too scared to cry out to Jesus. They don't know what will happen. They might be fearful of letting go of their old life. Father, I pray that you would give us the willingness and the courage to behave like Bartimaeus and cry out to Jesus, the Son of David, the eternal Son of God, and receive salvation and healing and wholeness. Father, for those of us here today who need encouragement to keep walking on the road of suffering, I pray that you would give us perseverance. Give us courage to do what is right in obedience. And help us, Lord, to leave the cloak on the side of the road and to walk forward in hope and in joy of the eternal glory that is to come. Lord, please stir our hearts this day by your Spirit. Enable us to live for you and change us and mold us into the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.